You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you from Hart County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Paul just told me I was rubbing my hands together. He said, you're starting a fire. Anyway, I hope that you are having a great day today in beautiful Brevard County. And that you are ready for whatever life throws at you today, because Jesus Christ is living inside of you, and through him we are more than conquerors. Amen. So be a blessing to somebody today, and that will refresh them and minister to them, and you will be blessed by the Lord in doing that. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have a construction project that you are going to be doing, or you have some concrete that needs to be repaired, they do that as well. Whatever you need in the area of block or concrete work done, they can help you out in that endeavor. They will come out, take a look at your job, and see if they can come to some sort of agreement with you. 321-536-5804. Jits Concrete, decades of good experience, decades of expertise, decades of hard work, and decades of doing the job right the first time. Give them a call and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So we want to invite you out to our services. We have Wednesday night Bible study. Now, I will not be there tonight, as general counsel is going on over in Orlando, but our congregation will be meeting. We'll be having youth at 7 p.m. We'll also be having adult Bible study at 7 p.m., and pray that you will be able to make that out. We want to make ministry as available to as many people as possible. Today, I want to invite you to turn with me in the Word of God to Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Isaiah 59. And this is a chapter in the Word of God that deals a great deal with the concept of justice and inequity and things like that. A lot of words that we are hearing that are thrown around in 2021. And I want to show you some of the consequences from the Word of God that are talked about here, what the cause was, what the consequences are, and what the solution is. You know, a lot of people right now want to talk about their proposed solution, which is basically an opinion. If it doesn't come from the Word of God, it is an opinion, and that's my opinion. if it's from the Word of God, that's fact. That's truth, and I'm going to go with the Word of God. So I've got an opinion, you've got an opinion, God's got truth. So I want to know what God's solution is, but many times in order to implement a solution, we got to know what the cause was. And a lot of people don't want to necessarily look at that, but we're going to look at it from the Word of God here, Isaiah chapter 59. So I'm going to read, because we're just getting into this today, I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we will come back and begin to take a closer look. Verse number 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter, so truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Chapter 59, verse 16, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. So if I threw out the potential goal of the word of the Lord not departing from your grandchildren's mouth, not just for them, but from that time and forevermore, I think that we would look at that as a desirable goal. That is how Isaiah chapter 59 concludes. He says, if you will respond to my invitation, it will change your lineage from this point forward. And if you keep doing it, it will never, ever stop being a blessing in the lives of people. And so if we see that as the goal, we need to understand what God wants us to do and what he wants to do for us so that we can achieve that goal. The problem is people want the blessing without the instruction, without the mandates, without the commandments that God gives. Here in our Western civilization, we want to do whatever we want to do, and we expect that God is going to bless the outcome. I've got news for you. Not every outcome is going to be a good one. I'm going to say that again. Not every outcome is going to be a good one, because there are going to be people who reject God's way and choose their own way. You know, there was an old saying that says, all roads lead to Rome. Well, all paths do not lead to blessing. And so you and I need to make sure that we do life the way that God wants us to do life. And we're going to see that here in chapter 59. So let's go back to verse number one. Let's go back to the beginning. And the first thing that we see is the nature, the character, and the abilities of God have not diminished. It says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Okay? God says, everything that I've been able to do in the past, I am still able to do right now in your midst. The things that I promise that I'm going to be able to do in the future, I can do right now in your midst. He says, my hand is not too short that it cannot save. He goes on and he says, my hearing has not diminished that it cannot hear. It is, I tell people whenever I see them, because I've studied a little bit of the science. I'm not a person that, you know, is an expert in all of the mechanics of hearing. But because of, you know, sound systems, I have a little bit, just a teeny tiny little bit of knowledge of what happens to our hearing, how long you can be exposed to a certain decibel level without damaging your hearing. And I can remember when I was much younger, as a youth pastor, I took our youth group to a concert. Still remember the concert. It was a great concert. But the thing I also remember about that particular concert was having seats down very close to the front. You know, it, just like when you go to church now, everybody wants to get to the front row. That was a little bit of sarcasm there. I think that we should, you know, have a desire to, you know, get to towards the front instead of lingering towards the back. And I know that there's all sorts of different reasons and rationales and all of that sort of stuff, but I can't think of too many activities in life where we're, you know, school. Now, school is one of those places where I always had the front row seat, and there were people who were behind me that were getting in less trouble than I was because the teacher didn't notice them. They didn't stick out quite as much as I did. But I think that we ought to have an eagerness. I think we ought to come to church with an expectation. Hey, God's going to do something amazing today. Anyway, back to my concert story. After that concert was over, my ears rang for 2 or 3 days. And it's like, wow, I probably ought not to, you know, sit that close to those ginormous speakers the next time. But it's a great concert. But we tend to expose ourselves to unnecessary levels of noise. And as a result of that, sometimes our hearing capabilities diminish. And so there is a massive market for hearing aids and things like that. We've got some people over near our church. They've got a sound system business of some sort, someplace nearby. I haven't ever tracked it down to the exact location, but there are times when I can be sitting in my office and they crank up the sound system a couple of blocks away from us and my windows in my office rattle. And it's like, wow, that's not going to help their hearing. And then you see cars going down and you know, they can be 2 or 3 blocks away from you, and you can hear them better than you can hear the siren on an emergency vehicle. You know, that also happens with cars driving down the road. It's like, whoa, somebody is doing some future damage to their hearing. The Bible says that there's coming a time when there will be a famine of hearing the word of God. There will be a time when people will not hear what God has to say. But it never talks about God's ability to hear being diminished. His capabilities are there. There are some things that do damage to our communication with God, and we're going to see that here in just a minute. But understand that the problems are not with God. The problems are with our actions that lead to a consequence. And then we say, well, why is God allowing? You know, one of the things that I love about America, this is kind of sarcastic, is we tell God we don't want him involved in any aspect of our society, except for, God, we'll give you Sunday morning. We'll give you a little bit of a portion of the weekend, but we don't want you involved in our government. We don't want you involved in our courts. We don't want you involved in our school. We don't want you involved in interfering with our lives. And then when something tragic happens, God, where are you? Why did you allow this to happen? And so here's what it says in verse number 2. God's capabilities have not diminished in verse number 1, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Okay, it is our sin, it is our iniquity that separates us from God. It is not that God does not have the capability of reaching society. He does. You can, you know, I look in the Word of God and I see hope, because there were times when they were in desperate, miserable spiritual condition, and they repented and God gave them a revival. And then they ended up going into another desperate, pitiful spiritual condition, and God sent them repentance, and then he sent them another revival. So I see hope, but there has to be an abandoning of the things that caused the problems. And the thing here described in verse number 10 is, first of all, described as iniquities, which some have explained are inequities. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. And so what I want you to see is that all behaviors do not produce the same outcome. They produce different outcomes. And the thing with this iniquity is not that it's producing not the outcome that we want. It's not producing the result that God wants. When we get to the mindset that the reason that God tells us sin is sin is because it damages people who were created in the image of God, people who were breathed into the breath of life, people that God does not want to perish, but he wants them to have everlasting life, and living a lifestyle outside of the parameters of God's mandate produces harmful side effects. It hurts people. It damages people. And so God says, the reason I want you to do this is because I want you to live a blessed life. I want you to live a pain-free life. But it's not a license. It's not a equation where you can just plug anything in and you add Jesus to it and it's going to get you the result that you want. There is a blessing for living a righteous and holy life. He said there's distance between you and God because of your sin. And he says in verse number 2, the second part, and your sins have hidden his face from you. And so as I was preparing before I came into the studio this morning, I just felt led to write this down. Contrast that your sins have hidden his face from you with the verse that says, God, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you? And so we can either hide the word in our heart so that we don't sin, or we do not hide the word in our heart and we end up sinning and God's face is hidden from us. I don't know about you, but I would rather hide God's word in my heart so that I don't sin unintentionally or intentionally against him. Okay? So this is being described as a willful, it's a lifestyle of sin where you do things intentionally and the consequence is God's not going to listen to you. We don't talk about that too much in our modern society, but if you go to John chapter 9, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, I'm turning over there. There was a man on trial, and let's see if I can find it real quick. Oh, here it is. There was a man who was born blind. Jesus healed him, and he ended up getting drugged before the Pharisees, and they wanted an explanation as how he could see. And he told them, and they called his parents in, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. They said, he's of legal age. You go ask him. And so verse number 21 or 24, it says, so they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? This guy is a guy after my own heart. He answered them, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want his disciples? That's the part I love. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Listen to what he says. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So I read all of that so that you could see this person understood that when we are willfully and intentionally leading a life of sin, it impairs, it prevents communication. God says, okay, I'm going to need to take care of the sin issue so that I can deal with all of these other issues. Let me take just a moment and say this. Guys, did you know that if there's a problem between you and your spouse, you're supposed to deal with that because it hinders your prayers? Again, that's New Testament. Jesus said that if there's anything between you and anyone else, if a person has something against you, that you should stop praying, you should go and resolve that issue and come back and pray, because you know it will impair your prayers. The Bible also says that if you're holding something against someone else, you're supposed to go to them. The thing I want you to know is whether you're the offender or the offended, God says, go to that person and get it right, so that when you pray, it will be effective. Okay? So I want you to see in verse number 2 that God does not lose his ability to hear. it says, so that he will not hear. That he will not hear. And so this is a matter of the will. This is a determination by God. He says, you need to have your heart right with me. Don't treat God just like a 911 call where you can go and do everything that you want to do, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation that you can't control, and it's like, God, come get me out of this mess that I'm in. And I will tell you that I do not believe that God is saying this about a person who's never known him. I believe that this is people who have refused to listen to God, and yet they expect God to listen to him. Far too many people use God as a bailout fund or a, you know, emergency relief agent, and then they go right back to ignoring him, ignoring his word, ignoring his people, ignoring his commandments. And folks, I don't care how harsh this may sound, really, you're not going to get the godly results ignoring the God who knows more than you. We, in our arrogance, tend to think that we are smarter than God, and we're not. We're dependent upon him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But Paul writes in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got good news for you. Jesus came and died for your sins so that you could be forgiven, so that your communication with God could be restored, so that he could empower you to live the holy and distinct life that God wants you to live, because he doesn't want your life to be miserable. He wants your life to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. So we're going to be diving through Isaiah chapter 59. It is a great chapter. Hopefully you'll spend some time familiarizing yourself with it, so as we go through this, you will see just what a blessing it is to have the Word of God in our mouth, in our kids' mouths, and in our grandkids' mouths forevermore. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Great is your faithfulness. You never change, you never fail, oh God. True are your promises, true are your promises. You never change.